We'll get there in a little bit, but go ahead and find it right now. It may take you a little bit of time. Isaiah is Old Testament book. You find Psalms. You kind of keep on turning toward the right like you're going to the New Testament. And find Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. And if you've got one of those little fancy markers in your Bible, those little ribbon markers, that's a good thing for these. And put that one there. And then we will go to Matthew chapter 1. Amber, that's where we're going to start at today. Matthew chapter number 1. A name is a title by which one person is designated from another. How many of you have ever looked at someone and you knew their name, but you couldn't remember it? How many have ever thought that before? You look right around. What do you say? Hey, buddy. How you doing? Yeah. We're liars, aren't we? It's like, I can't tell you that I forgot your name. I should know your name, but I don't. What's in a name? Well, it designates so many things. What do people think about when they hear your name? It's like, we don't want to ask. In our day, names really don't hold that much significance. In the Old Testament, though, that's a different story. In Bible times and that part of the world, a name was given to someone with hope of what they would become. Abraham started out as Abram. His name meant father of a multitude. He lived 90-something years before he ever had a child. And I'm sure that he took a lot of grief over that because that was his name. That was what it meant. David, probably the greatest king of the nation of Israel, his name means beloved. Goliath's name meant splendor, magic, giant of a man. Bible names mean something. Every once in a while you'll read and it'll say their name and in the rest of the text, it'll tell you a little bit about it. But you know, we could go through and we can read a lot of the different names in the Bible. None of them are as great as the name that we'll read about today. What's in a name? Jesus. I remember the first time that I read somewhere, this is pre-internet, this is before Al Gore invented it, way back. I remember reading a fellow's name, and his name was Jesus. And I thought, there's only one Jesus. I can remember thinking, how can he be named Jesus? There's only one. What's in a name? Matthew 1, let's pick it up in about verse number, verse number 21. If not, verse number 18. Let's back up there. Beginning of the paragraph. So, in the edge of your Bibles, if you have a good Bible, there's a little mark right there beside 18. And it looks, I don't even know what it looks like, but it's a couple little lines, and it looks like a backwards P almost. It means paragraph, a new paragraph started. So here's a new paragraph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. This is kind of a before they even really got engaged, pre-engagement. But they were meant to be together. They were meant to be wedded. That all the plans had already been put together. But notice the next little phrase, before they came together. That's a phrase that means that they had never had any physical relations. Here's the important thing. We won't touch on it this week. Probably go into a little bit next week. But it was important that Mary was a virgin. It's important that Mary is pure. And right here is another place. It did just say she was a virgin, but it says before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. without charges of adultery. You know, how do you explain? She's with child. But while he thought on these things, boy, if you underline or circle things in your Bible, that's a good little phrase to circle or underline. While he thought on these things, how many of us would have saved ourselves so much grief if we would just thought on these things before we talked about these things? And all God's people said, I don't know about you, but I'm right at the front of that. He could have done so much. I got an idea he was probably angry, he was hurt, all of those things. But he thought on these things. And while he's thinking on those things, his mind naturally goes back to the things of God. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Wow! What a miracle! And then notice the next verse. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Notice the rest after the colon. For he shall save his people from their sins. Wow! What a name! Then he goes on. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. And you can go to Isaiah 7:14 and see this prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. She shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, you ready? God with us. What a name. He shall save his people from their sins. God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, and I have circled in my Bible the little word did, and I have written in the margin, obedience. Obedience, and I could have put obedience without understanding. Maybe even obedience without believing, but he just obeyed. That's another sermon, but man, what a passage this is. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And then notice the rest. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What's in a name? What's in a name? The name Jesus is a name that is really special. We see here in the passage, shall save his people from their sin, God with us. It is a name that has been and will be exalted by the Father in heaven. When that name is mentioned, men should bow down before him. In fact, Philippians tells us this, for wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. May I say this today? He has a special name. He has a special name. I've been thinking about this the last couple days. I'm thinking about this name. I said something about Wednesday night. I said, I encourage you to just get a passage of Scripture and just begin to read on that about Christmas. Begin to meditate on it. I was reading there in Isaiah 9, chapter 6 and 7. We'll get there. That'll be the third point today. But I've been thinking about the name. What does his name do? Well, number one, his name, the name Jesus, reveals his personality. His personality. Whenever you think of some names, you think of personality sometimes. Just naturally comes. Now, other people may hold that name, but whenever I begin to mention these names, no, I'm not even going to do that. But our names oftentimes reveal our personality. People associate our personality with our name. Go with me to verse number 23 again. And I want you to see this. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." God with us. His name reveals a personality, reveals something personal, reveals something really supernatural. Could I say this? That his name reveals that he was a supernatural child. A supernatural baby, if you will. John chapter 1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And talks about that Word being Jesus Christ. Jesus was, is, and always will be God. There was never a time that He didn't exist, and there never will be a time when He does not exist. He is God. But He took on human flesh so that He could take my place and your place and die for our sins. A supernatural child, a supernatural baby. But also, when you think of the name Jesus, you think of the name Emmanuel, you think of a supernatural birth. Something supernatural happened. The Bible says over in Isaiah 7, it says, "Behold, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign." Well, what kind of sign? Well, how do we know this is God? What is God going to do that's spectacular? May I say this? God does some spectacular things. Whenever He saved your soul and saved mine, He did something that was spectacular. What He did is He took your sin, and He laid your sins, He laid my sins on Jesus, and Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Can I say something? That's spectacular. That's supernatural. Only God could do that. "Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign," or present a sign. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." Why? Nobody's ever thought about that. Of course not. But God has. God decided, we're going to do this in a way that's supernatural. Produce a child without a sin nature. Now, I know some parents that think their little one doesn't have a sin nature. I was in charge of discipline for a while at a Christian school, which is really no different than public school in that aspect of discipline, except for I was in charge of paddling. Oh, those are glorious days. Glorious days. I paddle for everything. I'm a good paddler. I'm a pretty good batter. But buddy, I can lean him over and I take that paddle and I can burn the hide off of him. I make a senior boy cry like a first grader. Oh, man. Oh, sorry. I was reveling in that a little bit. Amen. Just enjoying that a little bit too much. But I can remember talking to parents and telling them what their child had done. And the parents were just aghast. They just could not imagine that their little one, a 10th, 11th, 12th grader, no longer a little one, they could not imagine that they would do something like that. Now, I had one mom. She called me at home. She said, "Hey, whenever Jacob gets to school today, can you paddle him?" I said, "What?" She was a single mom. Jacob was a pretty rough boy. And she said, "I can't do anything with him. Can you paddle it?" I said, "Absolutely." So he got off the bus or off the van, came in, and there I was. I said, "Jacob, I need to see you in my office." He's like, "Hold on. My mom called you." I said, "Yes, sir." You know what? For the rest of the school year, he didn't backtalk his mom. I blistered his hide. That was free, by the way. That wasn't even as a principal or anything. That was just because I liked it. No sin nature, though. Can you imagine a child without a sin nature? As a baby, Jesus never cried because He wanted somebody's attention. Can you imagine? A perfect child. Now, I know some of the young people are thinking, I'm pretty close. You're a liar. They would tell me, you won't believe what your son did or your daughter did. I'm like, yeah, I will. I know who their mom is. I know what they're capable of. I mean, I know who their dad is. I know what they're capable of. Amen. Can I say this? Jesus did not have a sin nature. That's one of the reasons why it was important that he was born of a virgin. No sin nature. Never sin. He was perfect. The first time that he was involved with sin is whenever he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. May I say this? His name reveals his personality. Supernatural. His name not only reveals his personality, but his name reveals his purpose. Purpose. When you hear somebody's name, do you just automatically think, you know, they're a hard worker, they're a slacker? Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus in the Old Testament, the translation of it there means Jehovah is salvation. We get it and we sing the song, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. His purpose. Look at it, verse number 21. The Bible says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. By the way, they did obey in that area. They did call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Whenever I think about the purpose of Christ, I think of his desire. His desire. The name Jesus reveals a God that desires to save sinners. He doesn't desire to send people to hell. He desires for them to go to heaven. And he did everything possible for that to happen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know what his purpose is? To save. To save that which was lost. That wasn't something that just came up here in the New Testament. And it was always God's desire from the beginning of time to save sinners. Now, I don't understand all of that, but I have to accept what the Word of God says. Here's what the Bible says in Revelation. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. By the way, we know that's future. Whose names are not written in the book of life, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Why? Because our names are written on the book of life. God had a plan that was conceived in eternity and was consummated at just the right time. His desire speaks of his deliverance. Have you ever been delivered from something? How many of you have ever looked out the window waiting on a delivery? That's old school. How many of you ever checked your phone to find out a delivery, right? You know, UPS right now has a thing where you can actually track the truck. It's like, really? People are wanting their stuff that bad. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you've got to track the truck, why don't you just go to the store? just go there and buy it. You say, but I gotta know. It'll get there when it gets there. That would be my motto if I ran a shipping company. It'll get there when it gets there. Amen. I have people, I ship stuff. In fact, Hoosier Bullets is the largest shipper in Trafalgar. The largest. You ask Brother Wendell, he's the one that carries all the boxes there. Hundreds of boxes. They're the single largest shipper in Trafalgar, which is staggering. It's a lot of bullets. About 200,000 a month. I got a lot of good friends that are crazy. Really bizarre crazy. But almost all that, they're like, hey, where's my shipment? It'll get there when it gets there. I don't know what to tell you, man. Well, I'm tracking it, and it's here. Okay, what do you want me to do? Wave a wand and make the postal service speed up, which, really, that's a joke. But I don't know about you guys, whenever I order something, I'm just as bad as everybody else. I'm like, wonder when it's going to get here. I ordered something the other day, and I got an email yesterday that said it wasn't going to be shipped until December 14th. That's like next year. It's like, really? I like Prime. I like, hey, I'll order it today. It'll be here today. Put it on the drone and bring it, buddy. I don't want to go to the store. I want to order online and have it right now. There's nothing that happens right now except for this. Whenever a person bows their head and says, Jesus, deliver me. Right now, he delivers. Jesus stood up in the temple at the very beginning of his ministry, and he took the scroll of the Word of God. He began to read. And the book of Luke records it like this, and Jesus is reading the passage, but that passage is talking about him. And it took a little while before it sunk into the people's hearts and heads that the passage of Scripture that he was reading was being read by the one that it was talking about, which is quite an amazing thing. But the passage goes like this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I don't know about you, but I identify with that. He says, to preach deliverance to the captives. I identify with that. And he recovers the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. His name reveals his personality. His name reveals his purpose. His purpose is to deliver his desire as part of his purpose, desire to save. When I think about the name of Jesus, you can't speak about the name of Jesus, can't think about it unless you think about his death. We're talking about his birth at this time of the year, but he came to die. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Galatians, he says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. He gave himself for our sins. He later writes in the same book, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, get this, who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. His name reveals his personality. His name reveals his purpose. Now go with me to Isaiah 9. His name reveals His power. See, it's one thing for Him to have purpose. This is my purpose. This is my goal. This is what I want to do. It's one thing to have the personality to carry it out. But it's another thing to have the power to do all of it. Only God has the power to do these things that we've just talked about. Only God has the power to save. Only God has the power to deliver. Only God has the power to die on the cross for our sins and to save us. Only God. Isaiah 9, 700 years before Jesus came on the scene. 700 years before the name of Jesus was proclaimed. 700 years before Mary or Joseph had even been born. Isaiah writes this prophecy. We could call it a promise. Amen? Writes this promise from God. A prophetic utterance written down and recorded. For unto us a child, notice this. He doesn't say will be. You know what he says? Is. You know, in the mind of Isaiah, he's writing this word and he's writing it as if it had already happened. You know why? Because in his heart, he felt like it had already happened. Can I tell you something? That would be a tremendous place for us as Christians to be. To take the promises of God like they'd already happened because God said they would. Amen? He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. We'll talk about that one day later. And, here it is, his, you ready? What's the word? His what? His name shall be called. Now, I've got to park, I've got to stop here. Notice the word name, or the, I guess that's the proper way to say it. The word name is singular, I'll get it out, and not plural. Doesn't have an S on it. His name shall be called. All of these. Can I say this? Only Jesus can be all of these things. His name. So whenever you hear the name Jesus, you think of all of these. Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name reveals His power. He is a supernatural one. That's what the word wonderful means. Supernatural, miracle, extraordinary. Men may not be able to comprehend Him. Men may not be able to understand Him. But a child can believe on Him. May I say this today? He's wonderful. Wonderful. He's Counselor. Counselor carries with it the idea of the one who supervises. One who supervises. To advise, to devise, to plan. It refers to His role as a leader and a guiding force in our life. Here's what the psalmist says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Job says this, He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. By the way, that's in Job chapter 23, and Job has a lot more to go before that. He is wonderfully qualified to be the planner for my life. As Counselor, the one who advises, the one who plans my life, I'm grateful that He's the one that gives grace. The Apostle Paul was talking about the thorn in the flesh, the ailment that he had, the physical ailment. And he said, I besought the Lord three times. And I've said this before. I don't think it was just three times that he tossed up a prayer. I think it was three definite periods in his life where he sought the Lord on purpose to take this away. because he felt like this was a hindrance in his ability, or it was hindering his ability to serve God. And God said, I'm going to say, you don't understand the purpose for this. You have this issue. You have this physical ailment. You have this emotional ailment. You have this past. And I'm not going to take those things away. What I want to do is I want to demonstrate my power through you and in spite of it. Can I tell you something? That's what God does for us today. Because at the end of all of that, when Paul is writing and he says, I asked God to take this away, and I waited, and then he reveals what God said to him. God said, the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, my strength. God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what he said? Paul, I can't be strong in your life until you're weak in your life. And then Paul says, most gladly. Most gladly. You say, what does that mean? It means most gladly. Most gladly. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, his name reveals his power. He's wonderful. He's counselor. The Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 6, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. You know one of the definitions of Mighty God? You know what it is? Hero. You know, we have a lot of heroes today. You know what a hero really is? It means one who is strong, mighty, and invincible. Maybe we ought to go back to making Jesus our hero. Because he alone is worthy to be our hero, because he alone has defeated all of our enemies. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is mighty God. He alone is worthy of our worship. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. In other words, he's our source. He's our producer. He's our generator. He created us through Adam as humans. He recreated us through Jesus. That's power. That's power. As our Father, he sustains us. He takes care of us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and a few of these things shall be added unto you. No, all these things. And if you read the preceding verses before that, oh, those are wonderful promises. Found in Matthew chapter 6, verses about 25 through 34. We are his children. Write this down somewhere. Write it on the back of your hand, it doesn't matter. And if you don't write it down, just listen. We are his children. Therefore, we are his responsibility. You get that? We are his children. Therefore, we are his responsibility. We are his children. Therefore, we are his responsibility. That's good, isn't it? Some of you are thinking, man, that preacher's pretty smart. Yeah, I read it. I copied it. He's the Everlasting Father. When you think of God, there was never a time that he was not, and there will never be a time when he will not be. He always was and always will be. Because he always was and always will be, guess what? I too will live for all eternity. So will you, as a believer in Christ. The last part of his name. Remember, when you hear the name, you say the name Jesus, he's all of these. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Oh, and a Prince of Peace. Boy, we live in a world of turmoil, don't we? It's almost like our society as a whole likes to keep things stirred up. How many of you know people like that? How many of you don't hang out with them all the time like that? Amen. Me. I got some people. I've got some people that if I listen to or read after, that they stir me up, create turmoil in me. Had to replace the steering wheel on my truck twice because I was listening to some of those guys. I just tore it right off. I'm joking, all right, but felt like it. You know what we need today? The Prince of Peace. No matter what else is going on in my world, if I just get along with Jesus, there's a certain sense of peace. And all God's people said, can I say something? His name reveals His power. Only God has that kind of power. He's the creator and sustainer of our peace. See, He accomplished that. He accomplished that peace with God when He died on the cross. Here's what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only His power could do that. The Prince of Peace. Then, not only did He accomplish giving that peace or granting that peace, providing that peace, but He infuses our life with that peace. Because here's what He told His disciples in John chapter 14. He said, peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. I thought about that this morning for a little bit, and I want to delve into that a little bit more as a study. But Jesus said, my peace give I unto you. Can I say this? The world has never known anyone that had peace like Jesus. Never. And He said this, I give you my peace. Of course, that's the Holy Spirit residing within us. Not as the world giveth. Give I unto you. Then He goes on. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, I'm the Prince of Peace. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's the keeper of our peace and the guaranteed and the guarantor of continued peace throughout all eternity. What's in a name? A lot. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. My Savior. And hopefully my God. The one that controls and sustains me, and I live for Him and through Him. When people hear your name, do they think of Jesus? They should. What's in a name? If that name is Jeff, not much. But if that name is Jesus, everything is in that name. His name is the source of our salvation. His name is the hope for our hearts. His name can break sin's bondage, and it can cool the raging mind. His name can lift the greatest burdens. His name can comfort the broken heart. His name is a name worth knowing because it speaks of a Savior worth loving. His name is everything. It unlocks the door to heaven and closes the gates to hell. His name saves the vilest sinner, redeems the blackest soul, and secures the precious saints. His name may be Jesus, but that name cannot tell us all that He is. You can only know that by experiencing Him personally. There is a name I love to hear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you know Him by name as your Savior? Does He know your name? Absolutely. Maybe He's speaking to you today. God, help us this Christmas season to worship Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.